Let me preface my message by asking a question. Is there a locksmith in the house? The reason I'm asking that question is we've locked my door in here. I can't get to my jacket, so that's why I'm standing with you in front of you now. I can't get to my jacket. I can't get to my car keys. I can't get to my house keys. So if there's a locksmith, we need you urgently. One of the things I learned many years ago in the United States Marine Corps was the model that to engage, adapt, and overcome. That's what I'm trying to do at this time. Welcome all, and our minister, Alan Isbell, is away preaching, and when he's away, then it's my responsibility and my joy and my pleasure to be in front of you to deliver the message. If you look in your bulletin that was passed out to you, I had a sermon all set that said, God has a plan for your life. And that was the message to be delivered. However, last night, I started thinking. And my thoughts were on God and the message delivered to his people. And I recalled a conversation I had many years ago back in Los Angeles, many years ago with a friend who's a minister for many years. I had a conversation with him, and he's a prominent preacher and a friend. His name's Floyd Rose. He and his sister wrote one of the songs we sing from our songbook, Mansion, Robe, and Crown. They wrote that particular song. And I had a conversation with him. I asked him, how do you decide, after all the years that you've been preaching, how do you decide what to preach about? His response was, Larry, I've preached for over 50 years, and I've always preached one message. Jesus Christ and his church. And it caused me to think last night, when was the last time I preached on Jesus Christ and his church? And you know, pitifully, I could not recall. So needless to say, what it says in here, ignore. Today we're going to talk about Jesus Christ and his church. You know, before the fall of Adam and Eve, there was no reason for Jesus, the Son of God, to even come to earth. After the fall, it was essential that Jesus come to earth. There was an SOS. The world needed Jesus Christ. Let me make this clear. Jesus' death was no accident. He was born to die. Jesus was born to die. To better understand this maxim, let me give you a couple of illustrations. The crucifixion of the Christ must be put in historical, chronological, and theological perspective and context. The cross and the blood, that's where the power of all Christianity is. It's in the blood, it's in the cross. There's no power in the message of the cross, in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's no power without those two. Hundreds of years before Christ's virgin birth, Scripture tells us Christ would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14 says that, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Bible also predicts his death repeatedly in the Psalms and in the prophets. It was clear Jesus Christ's purpose to fulfill the scripture by being crucified for the sins of humankind. There's a power in the message of Jesus' crucifixion, one that we should all take to heart and understand the associative power of being associated with the Christ himself. This message is often neglected today, and because of that neglect, Many people do not understand the real significance of what took place on that Roman cross over 2,000 years ago. It's my hope and prayer today that this lesson will help you know God a little better through the story of his crucifixion, and that you will use it as a tool to share the message of the cross with those you come in contact. Because that's where the power is. Why Christ had to die? Christ suffered and died on the cross for numerous reasons. But the simplest reason I can think of and can come up with is that he loved us. And because he loved us, he sacrificed himself for us. Those who do not understand often would like to rewrite the story of Jesus, rewrite it to fit whatever scenario they've developed. But the simple fact is, because he loved us, he forfeited his life for us. They think to themselves, he was such a good man, never harmed anyone. Why was he murdered? A good man, why was he murdered? Why did they have to put Jesus on a cross and kill him? Why did they do that wrong to Christ? Why? Why did they have to put Jesus on that cross? What a tragic, unnecessary ending to such a wonderful life, many believe. After carefully studying the gospel, we realize that the crucifixion of Jesus was really the primary reason he came to earth in the first place. The reason he came to earth in the first place for this crucifixion, this sacrifice for our sins. It's a historical fact, a real life story recorded in the pages of scripture and other writings of that particular period. We read of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. The Bible gives us the real life reasons Jesus had to die on that cross. And what I'd like to do now is to look at scripture to help validate what Jesus did and why he did what he did. Christ suffered and died on that cross for many reasons, but the simplest one again is that he loved us. The Apostle John said best when he wrote, "This, in fact, is real love. This is real love. When you will sacrifice yourself for another, is the surest sign of real love. It's not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his only son as a sacrifice to take away our sins, 1 John 4:10. Not because we loved him, but because he loved us. God's love for us and his desire to make right our relationship with him was why Jesus humbled himself by becoming a man and dying on the cross for our sins, Philippians 2:5-11. To demonstrate the passion behind Christ's love, here are some reasons he died on that cross. And I want us to take a moment to actually contemplate. Take a moment to actually think about that, about the sacrifice. And for whom would you sacrifice your life? He died to bring us into a right relationship with God. He died to bring us into a right relationship with God. What a sacrificial life. Our sin has separated us from God. And now to restore our relationship, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for your sin, for my sin. That penalty was the cross. With the death and resurrection, we can now have the right and holy relationship with God. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2:8-9. He died to get forgiveness of our sins and the guilt that accompanied them. Get forgiveness of our sins. You want to know why Jesus had to die? Because of us. In the Hebrew scriptures, Shed blood of animals was symbolic of the forgiveness of sins. Bible makes it clear that without the shedding of blood, we cannot be forgiven of our sins. Hebrews 9:22. Jesus then came to die at all at once for all and sacrifice to forgive us of our sins and to free us from our guilt. Acts 13:39. He died to satisfy the requirement of the holiness of God. Leviticus 11:41. God's holiness made penalty for sin necessary. God's love endured that penalty for the sinner and made payment the possibility possible. Jesus paid the penalty by experiencing God's wrath and separation from him on the cross. Romans 5:9-10 reads, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation." We can be been reconciled, brought back into a relationship, a loving relationship with God, because of the work Christ did on the cross. He was forsaken of God so that we don't have to be. On the cross, he was forsaken of God momentarily there so that we don't have to be. He was forsaken for a time that we might enjoy God's presence forever. Matthew 27:46 read, "About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Hebrews 10:12-14 reads, "But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." He died to perform the righteous requirements of the law. There's another reason Jesus had to die. Another reason Jesus came to earth. Matthew 5:17 reads, Do not think that I have come to abolish the laws of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So in the fulfillment of the laws of the prophets, it was essential that Jesus come to earth and be sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 1:30 reads, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus now, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Jesus, through his holy life and suffering on the cross, lived the perfect life we were required to live and took the punishment that we actually deserved. These are just some of the reasons Jesus Christ died. But the Apostle Paul summed up the message of the crucifixion best when he wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:10, "Christ died for us so that we can live with him forever." Clearly, Jesus' death was no ridiculous ending. It was a glorious beginning. Not an ending, but a beginning. A glorious beginning that we today are the recipients of. Jesus' death and resurrection saved us from our own ruin and gave us the opportunity for life everlasting. Therefore, we must not blame the people of that day for executing Jesus. Some are of the mistaken notion that, "How dare they kill my Savior? How dare they do that to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?" Scripture provides no room for anti-Semitism or anti-Romanism, and no room for hatred. As As always, God was in control. Remember, what happened, happened because God was in control. Not in spite of God, but because God was in control. It was our sins that put Christ on that cross 2,000 years ago. The sins of mankind. The ending of the crucifixion is the beginning of the happiest story ever told. The ending of the crucifixion becomes the beginning of the greatest story ever told. It is the story of how God became a man so he could die for our sins. So we could be friends with him once again. He died for you, and he died for me, and he died for us all. All that is left is up to us now to believe in him, to repent of our sins, to confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and to be baptized. All that's left is for us to now take full advantage of the price paid on that day on Calvary. One thing to keep in mind, and please not fall prey to what I have to preach on or discuss all other manners and somehow forget to preach Jesus Christ. Forget to talk Jesus Christ, to speak of the work done by Jesus Christ. I think back to Brother Rose, and when he said that for 50 years, I have only preached about Jesus Christ and his church. Sometimes we become embroiled in social issues to the point that we ignore the most important lesson to be taught, and that's the love of Christ and our role in fulfilling the mission of God on earth as his people. What I want to do is leave you with that thought. Each and every one of us owes a debt. And in owing that debt, we can pay that debt back in small measure by doing whatever we can to best exemplify all of the qualities of Christ, that we can best pay that debt in small measure by speaking of what God has done for you to others who are non-believers, to bring others into the fold, to share the glory, and to share the price that Christ paid. By way of invitation, if there's anyone here standing in the need of prayer, fortify your faith and strengthen your walk, and or anyone prepared to obey the gospel, now is the time to come forward. If there's anyone not sure about giving your life to the Lord or to be guided and cared for by the Lord, I would ask that, if not now, when? If not here, where? The decisions have to be made. And thinking in terms of retrospectively, thinking in terms of the price paid by Christ, we owe that. We owe him our allegiance, and we owe him our obedience.